This SoCal Sound Session is sponsored by Whitmore Law, dedicated to supporting and assisting performers, songwriters, producers, composers, and all music professionals in every endeavor.
Welcome to another SoCal Sound Session. I am Julie Slater, your midday host. I am here with Sunflower Bean. Welcome.
Hi.
We've got, okay, I'm going to get the names right. Olive, Julia, Nick.
Yes.
How are you guys doing?
We're good. We're playing Zebulon tonight, and our EP came out 2 weeks ago.
Do you mean this one right
that
here?
That one right there.
Shake, which also is available in CD. Oh, I do want to show. I love, do you guys have, I don't know how much a band has a part in putting together this, but I love the color.
Absolutely. How would
Thank
you, how would you describe that color? That's what I'm curious about.
I mean, it's actually a really cool, I don't know, it's like a dark pink. Do you have a better pink
no.
color?
I kind of
it's almost
of it like
gray
a
gray pink.
Like a burgundy.
Yeah,
maybe?
A little burgundy.
It's
little
like
burgundy.
Purple maroon.
Yeah, it's very, very pretty. I dig it. Okay, so this, well, let's first start with the band name. I think I've read that you were the one that came up with Sunflower Bean. How is mm-hmm. that, like listening, it's kind of fun to listen to this record. This record is very heavy.
Yeah.
Do you guys get sort of a mixed bag on, like if someone sees, oh, Sunflower Bean's playing tonight, what they think your music sounds like?
Definitely, and I also think that the way we make music and the way we listen to music kind of makes it perfect because we do a lot of different things and the band name is kind of unplaceable. And at this point, I love the band name. I still love it to this day. I love how it's like positive. I like that it's not something like the, like something really serious. And I just kind of hear it phonetically, like the way you might say like Led Zeppelin or I don't know, just something like that where you don't even think about what the words actually mean. It's just the sound of the words at this point.
People definitely think it's like very sweet. Like there's been times it's like, oh, what's your band? It's like Sunflower Bean. And they're like, oh, cute.
Can't wait to hear your love songs.
And then I'm like, ooh.
You're like, yeah, wait till we start playing our shake EP.
Yeah, I kind of like that like contrast. And I feel like it's kind of like psychedelic in like a 60s way that is always something that's been like a big part of the band is like that era of like 60s psychedelia.
Do you have certain bands from the 60s and 70s that you fell in love with when you were growing up?
So
that's
many.
Too big.
Yeah,
that's
I think that's
big of a
like,
question.
You're like, here's a list. Yeah, really into it.
My favorite right now is The Left Banc, who are like a lesser known, like Baroque pop band from that era.
Yeah.
Yes,
I've been listening to a ton of Roy Orbison lately.
But I think when it came to like also making Shake, we kind of like brought, there were so many, I mean, a huge reference for Shake and for all of us as teenagers when we started the band was like Black Sabbath. You know, like there's like a lot of a lot of sweetness in our taste, but there was like a heaviness that brought us together. And also, it was like a unifying point at the beginning, and now, like at this juncture, it's still a unifying point because we just really love to like play together and rock out together, and wanted to make something on record that we could do that with live.
And what about? It seems like the album name and the song. Are you guys? And you decided for the first time to produce this yourself. Like, are you shaking things up?
Mm.
What's going on? What's the deep thoughts there? What made you decide to produce it yourself?
I think it was just like after making every record was that we had in the past with a producer, I just think, I don't know, we're like growing up, like we can do it. You know, like I don't know why we have to have like, you know, a 40-year-old guy in there, you know? Like, I think it just allows us to breathe a little bit more and like, because there's a lot of different stuff going on with our process, like so much, like in many different areas. And I feel like it just allows us to kind of like boil that down in a better, more Sunflower Bean way.
How about where did you guys end up recording this and how long did you take to record?
We recorded it in our space in Long Island, in beautiful sunny Long Island. And it was definitely over a period of time. Like I think that on our third album, Head Full of Sugar, we had some songs like Beat the Odds or even Roll the Dice that we had really noticed when we were playing them live. Like, it felt like we were ourselves, like we were kind of like living for those moments in the set. And I think that really influenced what we wanted to make next. And like kind of what Olive said too, I think it was like also in the pandemic, we did a lot of recording that made it onto the album. So it was partially like, I think, legs that we grew and that Olive especially grew during the pandemic. That made us, you know, we used to be kind of this sort of like road dog kind of project. And then we were able to develop this kind of recording life. And we were excited to, yeah, like Olive said, do that in a without a filter. And I don't think it means we'll never work with a producer again. And no, you know, there's nothing wrong with being a 40-year-old.
There's nothing wrong with old people.
Being a 40-year-old guy making records, 40-year-old girl making records. Hopefully we'll all get to, I would love to be a 40-year-old producing a record for somebody else. But yeah, it was like, I think that it was something that we needed to do was also find out who we were without that filter and what we could do and lean on each other in that way.
Did any one of you end up becoming like more of a leader in the production area?
Not really. I think we all kind of were on the same page about what we wanted to make, and we had like a very cohesive vision for what we wanted the project to sound like, which would be super heavy, super direct, like not a lot of ambience, like having like the melodies and the vocals be like very pop and like very upfront and just not a lot of distraction, and to kind of just make something that was like as abrasive but also beautiful as possible.
And we all kind of have areas, I think, within the studio that we can kind of play in and out of. Like Olive definitely, when we did Headful, took it upon herself to like really feel like you were the first and still, you know, by far the strongest engineer. But I feel like I'm sort of maybe the perfectionist. But
they're both like,
mm-hmm. Yeah. They're like, she is so annoying. And Nick is,
it's very,
you know,
good,
he
though.
Has curly hair, so he kind of adds that thing to it.
Like the hair looks like how my personality is.
Yeah,
I think that's
100%
true.
That comes off with him.
And what brought together, you guys put a video together of, so it's a 5-song EP, and you put a video together, and each song represented a natural element. Mm-hmm. Earth, wind, water, fire, metal. What brought all that? Like, who came up with that concept?
It was, I remember that Krista and I first talked about it on the plane. Krista's our manager, also known as the Fourth Bean, and also just really an amazing creative director and visionary, and she, we're really lucky to have worked with her for so long, and I remember it probably, I mean, honestly, I'll have to ask her about it. I think it started with the ring, which we were super excited about. And
has that always been your ring that's on the cover?
No, we made this. We found an artist, and we loved her work. And we just, this is the one and only. Thank God.
Should we get this ring on camera?
Remember to wear it today. I forgot to wear it in New York, so there it is, the shake ring. I kind of like that there's only one.
That's very cool.
But I think we felt kind of like what we're saying, like the EP itself is mainly consists of, you know, bass, drums, vocal, guitar, you know, that old thing. and I think that, you know, the sort of streamlined and all kind of like very essential what it is, sort of spirit of how we wanted the instruments and the vocal to come across, along with kind of the back to the basics kind of feeling. It just made us like, when we were looking at and trying to feel for inspiration, we just got inspired by really, really natural things. But we, you know, all of it is, it's not, you know, it's not like water, it's just like, you know, it's kind of how they all go together. Like mud is, you know, water and dirt becoming this kind of other form. And with all the videos kind of squishing into each other and playing together, we were interested in those in-between parts as well.
So I like the, especially like the video for Serial Killer. You're like laying in the lake and going underwater.
It was terrifying.
It kind of, it's very spooky.
Yeah, it was, we had to be on a property that had like everything, that had like, you know, a water feature, just like in a wood so we could build the mud pit. And on like, truly, it was like, you know, it was just a totally random pond. And
you don't know what's in there.
Yeah. You know what's in there. And definitely got worried about like a brain eating amoeba. As far as I know.
So far, you're okay.
Probably good.
But how
probably
would you know?
Good.
I guess you would know if it was like, maybe it just takes a few bites a day.
It's a slow eating amoeba.
All of a sudden you're like, I can't remember. Wait a minute, that lady.
Is it that cheeky little amoeba?
That's funny. Okay, so you're playing, you played three songs here today. Tell me, I guess, really about the lead track, Shake. Tell me about how that came about, what that song means to each one of you.
It was kind of inspired by the Typo Negative Summer Breeze cover that they did for the movie I Know What You Did Last Summer. And it was such a great riff, but then it goes into the rest of the song that's kind of like slow and murky. And then we were kind of like, what if we made a song like that? But then like, it just kept the momentum up and we sang over it. And Shake overall as a word is like kind of like one of those classic like rock and roll words where like, when I think about it, it like refers to like the speakers shaking the ground and then the innuendo of it and then shake as like just like the tag that keeps on happening on the record with it like shooting out at you almost like a curse or like a spell or something. And the song is supposed to, I think that the song is like fun and sexy and kind of like, you know, like those like 90s songs that are like kind of raunchy and kind of scary. I feel like we pulled a lot from the music videos that we saw when we were kids that were like kind of scary, but also like thrilling.
Yeah.
And that's great. Like when bands were like kind of dirty, but still sexy.
So then you must have felt good. You were in our studio really sweating it up.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, dirty and sexy right now.
That's how it feels to play it on stage too, I would say.
Truly.
Okay, so you have also, so you guys are from Long Island, New York, but now it's kind of branching into Los Angeles. You're living here. Are you living here full time in Hollywood?
I've been back and forth since I moved here, but
Bi-coastal is the dream.
I pay rent here. So. Yeah.
So what's your, I don't know how much time you spent some time in LA. What's your favorite thing you've discovered about LA and you're the least?
I love everything about Los Angeles. Like the first time we ever came here as a band, it was my first time and we got off the plane and I was just like enamored by it. We had a great trip. We played 10 shows in 10 days.
Oh my gosh, that's great.
And we met so many people who went on to become like lifelong friends. And I'm very lucky that I have like a really large, and my girlfriend also has a big friend group out here. So it kind of feels very seamless, but I love the weather. I love how crazy it is. It kind of reminds me, like certain aspects of it remind me of like Brooklyn, where everything is very one of a kind and there's a lot of handmade elements and there's character in every place that you look. And of course the weather is amazing. It's also a lot cheaper to live here than it is in New York.
Like, so that's
been
insane.
Nice. Yeah. New York's the number one most expensive city in America and LA's number 10. So it's significantly cheaper.
Wow. What's number two?
Number two is Jersey City.
I was gonna say San Francisco.
Jersey City
because of its proximity to Manhattan.
Wow.
Yeah.
And
that's
then insane. I forget what number three is. It might be like San Francisco or.
You heard it here first. It is crazy. I used to live in Manhattan. I don't even know that I could afford to ever go back there. Like the prices are crazy.
It's wild. Yeah. But no, I love everything about Los Angeles. Like, I think that there's a lot of slander about it.
There is a lot.
It's ridiculous. It's an amazing place, especially in New York. And I think it's propaganda to keep New Yorkers away. Because when we come here, we love it. I think every New Yorker deserves to live in LA.
New Yorkers don't necessarily make LA better. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like we're kind of like diluting the vibe a little
bit. I don't think you can dilute it though, because it's so big and there's like, so many different things. Yeah. It's exciting to live here. It's so diverse and like.
What do you think about it?
I guess, you know, the grass is always greener for, you know, a time being. So it's nice to come here. I enjoy coming here because it's kind of, you know, it's just like opposite power kind of from New York. But yeah. But then it gets a little, I don't know, I feel like kind of starved for just, I don't know, the energy in New York. Because in it's like madness, it feels like comforting, I guess.
I still love the New York attitude of kind of like tell it like it is. Like in LA, it could be, hey, great seeing you, let's do lunch. But in New York, they're just like, we're not doing lunch. See you later.
Yeah.
So there's something true about that.
Yeah.
I think it's good to be a New Yorker in LA because you can get so many things done. You can
only, oh, yeah.
Because totally. In New York, you could do like 10 things a day. In LA, and I've tried it many, many times, you can only do 3 maximum. And that's a huge day. That's like timing everything right. And if you do 3 things a day, everyone thinks you're like, you know, an Olympian. I'm like, no, like, I just, like, planned the day.
Yeah.
I wanted to, like, do some stuff, you know? Like, I'm trying to be out here.
All right, well, the new EP is Shake. You guys are going on a club tour. You're playing in L.A., Zebulon Tonight. How many shows have you done so far?
Only New York.
Yeah. So how's it going? How's the first show?
It was awesome.
Great.
It was extremely fun.
It was, like, it felt like, and a New York show that small is kind of just, like, it's like spawning like every Sunflower Bean World person like in one place.
Yeah, that's great.
That like we've acquired over the last decade.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's kind of funny. I'm excited to play tonight for like not family.
And everyone says that Zebulon's a really, I've only been outside in that little courtyardy section. I've never seen a show there. So I'm quite curious to see what it's like.
Yeah.
But everyone, including the lovely everyone working here, said that Zebulon's great.
Well, have a great show.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, Sunflower Bean, for coming by. Thank you, Olive, Julia, Nick.
Thank you guys for having us.
My lucky number's 1 and 2. What for me? The SoCal Sound Sessions are produced by 88.5 The SoCal Sound, hosted by Julie Slater. Audio recorded and mixed by Tristan Dolce, edited by Matt Blake. The SoCal Sound is a public service of California State University, Northridge, and Saddleback College. Streaming on the web at thesocalsound.org.